Anyways, this morning I want to look at an introduction into the book of Revelation. Unveiling the future, a culmination of history. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ himself, and it was recorded by his servant John the Apostle. The book was written at about 96 AD, when John had been exiled to the island of Patmos, sometimes after he miraculously survived being dunked into a cauldron of boiling oil. I suppose that since the Roman emperor was unsuccessful in killing John, he exiled him to an island where criminals and political prisoners were sent. Now, I want to introduce this book a little bit differently than what you might expect. I want to introduce it with a view of overall history, from the beginning in Genesis to the unveiling of the future in Revelation. This will show how intricately tied Revelation is to the entire Bible. But first, we'll have a bit of an introduction. The title of the book of Revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, meaning unveiling. If that is the case, that the book is an unveiling, we must understand that the book of Revelation is not meant to be dark or hard to understand. It is something that is being unveiled by God, and he's unveiling to us the future. I'm sure that many of you think that it would be great to know the future, wouldn't you? For instance, how long am I going to live? Will I be rich or poor? Will my favorite sports team win the trophy this year? For the younger crowd, perhaps they could ask, will I marry? Who will I marry? Will I have a happy marriage? How many children will I have? And perhaps what will be my career? These things are all in God's hands, and we're not generally given answers to such questions. But there is a future that we can know. It has been revealed to us by Jesus Christ, and it is recorded in Scripture in various places, including in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is revealing to us the future. Should we not be as excited about knowing this as we would be for knowing our own individual futures? The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1, tells us right there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto him or to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and be sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So that's a good, succinct introduction to the book right there. It's an unveiling by Jesus Christ, things which will occur in the future, John being the vehicle who received the revelation. Broadly, the book can be divided into three parts. This broad division is given to us within the first chapter of Revelation itself. Revelation 1:19 says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter. The things which thou hast seen is basically chapter 1 of Revelation. The things which are is chapters 2 and 3, which pertains to the church situation in John's day to the present day, essentially the church era or the entire dispensation of the church. And the third division, the things which shall be hereafter, is from chapters 4 to 22, after the church age, after the church is taken out of this world, and then God finishes things with judgment on the world for 7 years. So we have a sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21 tells us, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I think it's important to remind ourselves of the importance and the accuracy of the Word of God. We can trust God's Word. While Scripture is written by man, they clearly were inspired by the Holy Spirit, as we see in this verse. Prophecies of past events, for example, Christ's first coming, occurred exactly as the prophecies were indicated. God's Word is accurate and trustworthy. In fact, it is the only thing in this world which we can completely trust. Man's ideas and philosophies change with the wind, but God's word is set and does not change. So let's continue along this theme. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So all scripture is inspired by God. So it stands to reason that the book of Revelation references back to many other prophetic books, something which I've discussed often from this pulpit. This points to the fact that while there were many human authors, really there is only one ultimate author, and that is God himself. Today, I want to look at how Revelation relates specifically to the book of Genesis. Genesis meaning beginnings. Genesis is the foundation of the written word, and the book of Revelation is the capstone or the grand finale. All of scripture must stand on its foundation, Genesis. Is it any wonder that these two books are the most attacked by an unbelieving generation? The book of Genesis records real events from Earth's beginning, and Revelation describes equally real events that are yet to occur. The great themes of scripture have their beginnings in Genesis. They are progressively developed throughout the Bible, and they finally come to the climactic consummation in the book of Revelation. The first three chapters of Genesis outline the creation and the entrance of sin into the world, thereby introducing a curse upon God's perfect creation. The last three chapters of Revelation outline the removal of sin from God's redeemed creation. The earth will be restored to its original perfection, and continue forever as the new heavens and the new earth. In many ways, the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation complement each other. I would like to look at comparisons between the world described in Genesis and the eternal redeemed world described in Revelation, adapted from Henry Morris's book, The Revelation Record. This will show us how closely tied Revelation is with Genesis. The two books present an interesting contrast, from a cursed beginning to a redeemed eternal ending. The themes discussed in these two books are very much intertwined. So here's a comparison or contrast between creation, Genesis, and the eternal Revelation. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture here, so please hang on with me here as we go through these. So in the book of Genesis, we see a division of light and darkness. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And then in Revelation, we see that there's no night there. Revelation 21:25 says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. What a wonderful thing that will be. Then in Genesis, we see a division of land and sea. Genesis 1:10, and God called the land, called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And then in Revelation, we see that there will be no more sea. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In Genesis, we see the rule of the sun and the moon. Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Then in Revelations, we see that there is no more need of the sun or the moon. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In Genesis, we see man in a prepared garden. Genesis 2:8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man, whom he had formed. And in Revelation, we see man in a prepared city. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. In Genesis, we see a river flowing out of Eden. Genesis 2:10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. But in Revelation, we see a river flowing from God's throne, Revelation 21:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In Genesis, we see that there is a tree of life in the midst of the garden, Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then in Revelation, we see a tree of life again, but it's in the midst of the city, Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In Genesis, we see that there is gold in the land, Genesis 2:12. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delon and onyx stone. But in Revelation, we see gold in the city. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Pure gold in the middle of the city. Some people try to collect gold. It's like collecting asphalt. And then in Genesis, we see God walking in the garden. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Then in Revelation, we see God dwelling with his people. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a wonderful day that will be. I'm sure we all are all looking forward to that. And in Genesis, we see the Spirit energizing. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And in Revelation, we see the Spirit inviting. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In Genesis, we see the bride is formed from her husband. Genesis 2:22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And in Revelations, we see that the nations are saved. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, bride for her husband. Sorry, the Revelation is talking about the bride that is being adorned for her husband. I skipped my note there a little bit. Genesis 1:28 talks about a command to multiply. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. There's a command to us, be fruitful and multiply. Do we still do that today? In Revelations, we see that the nations are saved. Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And then in Genesis, we see man in God's image. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then in Revelation, we see man in God's presence. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now we'll look at a contrast between the cursed world after sin from Genesis and the redeemed world from Revelation at the end of earth history. In Genesis, we see it talks about the sweat on the face, talks about returning to the dust, and also daily sorrow that we experience today. Genesis 3:19 says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto the dust shalt thou return." And then in Genesis 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So, consequences of sin. But in Revelation, we see that there will be no more tears, no more death, and no more sorrow. Revelation 21:4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And in Genesis, we see talked about thorns and thistles. Genesis 3:18, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field." And then in Revelation 21:4, we see that there will be no more pain. Again, we read this before, but I'll read it again. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." In Genesis, we see the cursed ground. In Genesis 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Then in Revelation, we see that there will be no more curse. Revelation 21:3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." What a wonderful thing that will be when God takes away the curse that is upon mankind because of our sin. And then in Genesis, we see the eating of herbs of the field. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. But in Revelation, we will see about 12 manner of fruit that is in the midst of the city. Revelation 22:2, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." In Genesis, we see that God had made coats of skins to cover their bodies after they sinned. Genesis 3:21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." But in Revelation, we will see that we're going to be clothed with fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19:14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And in Genesis, we see Satan opposing. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In Revelations 21:10, we see that Satan is banished totally and finally. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In Genesis, we see that Adam and Eve were being kept from the tree of life. Again, is because of their sin. Genesis 3:24, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So they were kept from accessing the tree of life. But in Revelation, we see that we will once again have access to the tree of life. Revelation 21:14, "Blessed are they that do this, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." And in Genesis, again, we see that they are banished from the garden. 3:23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. But then in Revelation, we see that there is free entry into the city. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. We're not going to be kept away from the tree of life anymore and from close relationship to our Lord. We will be with him forever. In Genesis, we see that there is a Redeemer that is promised after the sin, that there will be, at one time, there will be a redemption brought back to God. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In Revelation 5:9, it says that redemption, though, is accomplished. And so the finishing of this promise, Revelation 5:9. And he sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Okay, and in Genesis, we also see that there was evil continually in the world. Sin had started in one place and it just continued on. And as the word tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, well, that is the case that we are living in today. Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. But in Revelations, it tells us that there will be nothing there that defileth. There will be no evil in heaven. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hopefully today your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it isn't, and you know that, I would make trying to find out what the gospel is about, that the Lord Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled to him and to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. In Genesis, we see the seed of the woman again. Read this before, but we'll keep reading it because there's a lot in this verse. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. But in Revelation, we see the root and offspring of David. Oops, sorry, I went too fast there. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So this verse in Genesis is known as the protoevangelism, evangelium, meaning the first gospel. It predicts the perpetual hostility between Satan and the woman, representing all mankind, and between Satan's seed, his agents, and her seed, the Messiah. The woman's seed would crush the devil's head, a mortal wound spelling utter defeat to Satan. This wound was administered at Calvary when the Savior decisively triumphed over the devil. The seed, or Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, was a descendant of David, humanly speaking, as alluded to in this verse in Revelation. In Genesis, we see the cherubim guarding the garden. Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the seat of the east of Eden cherubims. Cherubims are basically a type of angel, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. But in Revelation, we see angels inviting, not preventing, but inviting. Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So there are a number of themes that are begun in the book of Genesis and are either elaborated in Revelation or are mentioned in reference to an exhortation, as we've looked at. But here are some other examples. We don't have time to read through them, but I'll give you some references and you can look them up for yourself later if you wish. The original creation of the world is mentioned at least four times in the book of Revelation. or five times, I think. Revelation 3:14, 4:11, 10:6, 13:8, and 14:7. There's a reference to Noah's flood, the fountain of waters, in Revelation 14:7. There's a reference to the rainbow covenant with Noah in Revelation 10:1. The conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15 is elaborated at length in Revelation 12, verses 1 to 7. The post-flood rebellion at Babel under Nimrod is developed throughout the Bible until its climax under the Antichrist. And that's in Revelation 17 and 18, where it talks about Babylon the Great. There's a reference to Sodom in Revelation 11, verse 8. There's a reference to fire and brimstone, basically Sodom and Gomorrah, in Revelation 14:10. So I think I've demonstrated that the book of Revelation is closely tied to the entire Bible, and especially in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. You can't understand one without the other. The Bible must be taken as a whole in order to understand the big picture. So the books of the Bible interweave into each other and create a consistent theme, that of Jesus Christ, from the creation to the consumption of all things. It is a masterpiece that could only have been put together by the author of all things, Jesus Christ himself. The book of Revelation is exciting in that it pulls together the story of creation of mankind and reveals how all history will culminate in the near future. In the midst of this, Revelation has a description of the church and the different problems that can occur within it. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. All the major questions in life have their ultimate answer in the Bible. Approximately 100 years after Christ came to earth, the aged and last surviving apostle John was chosen to seal the written word once and forever. Revelation 22:18-19, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in his book." The book of Revelation was authored by Jesus Christ, and it was received by John. And God's word is now complete. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Acts 3:21, "When the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world begun." And Hebrews 1:1-2, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." And so the Word of God is a really wonderful thing. It is something that we ought to always be reading and being taught from ourselves, hopefully daily, that you are all reading God's Word and being encouraged by it and being led by the Lord and taught by it. So I hope that you've been encouraged by the veracity of God's Word and are encouraged to read and to study it. And if we're still around and God willing, I hope to teach from the book of Revelation in the future. It's been an exciting time. Thank you for your attention.